All right, thanks for being here. This is rehearsals for the real world, right?
Yep.
Okay. You know what? Before we start, I need a bass player and a drummer and a guitar player from the same church. Well, you don't have. Do we have one from the same church? Bass player, guitar player, drummer? Where? They're hiding? The ones with the Called to Be Faithful t-shirts on?
Yeah.
Okay, what church are you guys from?
First Baptist in Michigan.
Okay, and really, drummer, guitar player, acoustic player? They are. I'm hoping someone knows if they're a guitar player or not. Okay, well, yeah. And the bass player? Is one of you a bass player? Okay, and which one is the acoustic player? Is there an acoustic player? Okay, and which one is the drummer? Right-handed? Okay. Okay, great. I might use you guys later. Someone said, you know, if you're going to do this, you got to have, like, demonstrations. So I didn't want to, like, bring people in that I always work with. And so all I'll need is a chart, though. That would be key. Let me just text my daughter briefly. You guys can just talk for a second. Oh, yeah, what do we have? Okay, let me see that. Okay. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, good. We could do some of these. Hope's a lot. No, I don't need to take it. Lots of promise. Okay. And I don't think we've done a couple of these. And what's this? Okay, yeah, we could do. Okay. Oh, yeah, good. Oh, excellent. Never mind. We're good. All right, you guys are up. You're on. Excellent. Thank you for your willingness. Okay, this is, it's great to be together. It's just a joy. Hope this will serve you most effectively. I want to give away two books, The Art of Worship, A Musician's Guide to Leading Modern Worship. This is really, it's by Greg Shear, very helpful book for just practical stuff, and it's written for, especially for churches that are trying to make the move from a more, you know, traditional kind of music to a more contemporary style. It's got a great chapter on arranging vocals. We have some of these in the bookstore, but I just wanted someone to have them. So if you're in this section and that's you, if you're in a church where you're trying to make the switch from traditional to contemporary, anybody in this section like that? Okay, great, excellent. Yeah, you get one copy of Greg Shear's book. Yeah. Yes. Okay, and how about, because you guys are at the center, always look at you. How about over here? Anybody like that? Okay, you know, you're right near me, so I'm going to give this guy. Is that okay? There you go, Justin. All right, excellent. Okay. Yeah, they didn't really like that, what I did, I could tell. But you know what? Because I'm so guilt-ridden, you can go get one from the bookstore. All right, because you were there and right there. All right. All right, we're going to talk about rehearsals for the real world, and my desire in putting this together, we've done different things for, you know, rehearsals. There's something on the internet, Band on the Run. We did it at Worship God years ago where we actually had the band and we went through a rehearsal and, you know, what do you do with rehearsal? At a rehearsal. And then I realized that, you know, not every church has a full band with, like, you know, three or four musicians deep in each position. And we have to work with the resources we have. So that's what this seminar is hopefully going to help you in, as well as talking about some rehearsal things to make rehearsals run more smoothly. So let me pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to learn together. Just has been so encouraging to hear your word proclaimed, to sing these songs, to be a part of the different breakouts, and to realize that, okay, there are things that you want to teach us and ways we can grow, and you give us the grace to do that. I pray that first you give us an appreciation for the churches, the teams we do work with, serve with, and help us serve with them more effectively as a result of time together. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so music teams and bands come in all kinds of sizes, contexts, musical abilities and maturity levels. I mean, that's just the church. The church is a volunteer organization primarily, and so you're working with who you have. And I'm not a big fan of, you know, recruiting the best musical talent. In fact, I was just talking to a guy yesterday about, you know, we're a church of about 50, and you know, we have one guitar player, and so we give him a break once every 2 months, and, you know, I just lead singing a cappella hymns. You know, should we, like, try and get, you know, get other people in and stuff? And I said, no, you know what? I think you're doing the right thing. I think, you know, it's great if someone can come by occasionally and serve your church, but it's your church. These are the people in your church. It's not a musical production team. It's not a touring company. It's just the church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And what we have to offer people, as I mentioned this morning, it's the gospel. It's the power of God. And so it'll take different forms, and God's power is revealed in our weakness. Doesn't mean we can't grow, and I'm going to talk about that tonight. But we're at all kinds of different levels. So the goal of this seminar is to help you maximize the time you spend rehearsing with your musicians, not someone else's. And if you're a musician here doesn't lead, just think about how you might contribute to making your leader more happier as they seek to lead you. So first thing is just to know the goals of rehearsal. And sometimes I think we get off right here and it kind of messes everything else up. Our primary goal when we rehearse is to serve the congregation each week through music and leadership that is characterized by theological thoughtfulness and undistracting excellence. So by that, I mean, we're not the main point of the meeting. Musicians aren't. They shouldn't be. I mean, I know in some churches that's not, that they are the main point of the meeting. They shouldn't be. Nowhere do you get the impression in the New Testament that the musicians are like front and center stage and what everything's about. We are there in a meeting to support faith-filled singing of God's people. So we do that through theological thoughtfulness, because if what we're doing isn't based and in rooted in the Word of God, it's not going to last anyway. And undistracting excellence, it's a term that John Piper has used to just say, yeah, we want to be excellent, but we want to be excellent in a way that doesn't distract from what we're trying to do. So that's our goal when we rehearse. That's what we want to do. Here's some secondary goals. Sometimes we move into primary and that's frustrating, can become frustrating, to learn new songs. You realize we have enough songs already that you know, if no new songs were written, the church would be okay. Really. Now, I think new songs should be written, but it's just to help us relax a little bit, that we don't have to be doing the latest and greatest song that, you know, just came out yesterday. We've been writing songs for, you know, hundreds of years that we get to pick from. There are literally tens of thousands of songs that we can choose from. So, yeah, it's good to learn new songs, but that shouldn't be like the, you know, very top of the list as what we need to do as a team when we rehearse. We can pray together. That's certainly good to do. Develop musical skills, train the next generation. We can grow in a biblical understanding of music and worship. Again, these are all good things to do as a team. We can just play music together. We can develop community through sharing meals together, just having fun together. We can do all those things as a band or a music team. And we all have ideas of what things would be like if we had unlimited time, incredibly gifted musicians, and always available musicians, and the latest state-of-the-art technology. You know, we can imagine in our minds what that would be like. But that's not where we live. We live where we live. We live with who we have. Now, that changes over seasons, but we want to be faithful with what God's given us now. Our primary goal is not to be as good as the church we came from, or to be as good as the church down the street, to sound like the recording. That's not a bad thing. But if you don't have musicians who can duplicate what's on the recording, that's not a good thing to keep saying, you gotta sound like the recording. It's not to impress our friends. It's not to be on the cutting edge of musical creativity. When you lack musical resources or any kind of resources, the most important thing to cultivate is the pursuit of the right things. And from that contented state, we can seek to grow in the right ways. We just want to make sure we're pursuing the right goals. And so we get that clear that our goal is to serve the congregation each week through music and leadership characterized by theological thoughtfulness and undistracting excellence. Now, you can determine what secondary goals you want to work towards. You might, if you're the leader, you can do that yourself or talk about it with your pastor. You can add different elements to your rehearsals and meetings as you see fit. Every rehearsal doesn't need to be the same. You can if you're rehearsing on Sunday morning, you might rehearse once a month or have a meeting once a month. This is what we do in our church, although in the summer we kind of took a break. Once a month to do different things, for fellowship, for training, to have someone lead. And then we have another rehearsal on Sunday mornings to actually practice the songs. So at that once a month thing, I'm not caring about learning new songs. I have other goals there. So how many of you don't have a midweek rehearsal? You only rehearse on Sunday morning? Okay, yeah, that's what I thought, a lot of people. All right, how many of you have a midweek rehearsal? All right, that's more. And how many of you rehearse every week, midweek? Wow, okay, great. I mean, that's ideal. When we started the church plant here a year ago, we started thinking that way. And then after about 5 rehearsals, I thought, let's just do Sunday morning. It's going to help everybody. And so that's what we do right now, Sunday mornings, and then the once a month thing. Don't try to do everything in one rehearsal. Be clear on what you want to accomplish. You can have a separate vocal rehearsal. You can have vocals rehearsed while your instruments are rehearsing. You can have a rehearsal that's just a Bible study, where you're just doing different things. You can just get your musicians together to jam. Now, don't do that on Sunday morning when you're trying to learn the songs for the meeting, which musicians can be prone to do. No, we're not going to do that this morning. Okay, so every rehearsal doesn't have to be the same. All right, let's address some specific limitations. We're maximizing your resources. Okay, what if you lack time? How many of you are volunteer musicians in your church? Okay, that's what I thought. And how many of you are paid by your church to do what you do? Okay, that's a good number. Good. But a lot more volunteer. And even if you're paid to do what you do, you might get a stipend. We're all looking for more time. I'm always up against that crunch, Sunday finish. I write about it, Worship Matters, and then I experience it every week now. Sunday finishes, and you're thinking, oh, that was good. And the next Sunday's coming. It's immediately. It's not like things slow down. You get a long Monday or anything. No, it's just every day. It's one day closer. And you have to be ready for what's going to happen next week. In fact, I haven't prepared for this Sunday yet. So I sent one of the guys I work with, I was supposed to have it by Wednesday. I said, it's not going to happen. I'm not. In fact, it would really serve me if someone else did this week. And I haven't heard back from him yet. So lack of time, living in the reality of the lack of time, schedules, seasons of life, building use restrictions. Sometimes you just don't have any place to rehearse. Crises. So ask yourself, are you rehearsing the right amount of time? Believe it or not, some teams rehearse too much. I talked to one guy. This was so odd. This was in the 90s. Another church, music worship leader in the area, he was telling me his team practiced 3 or 4 times a week. I said, "You're kidding." I said, "Who has that kind of time?" He said, "No, we're really committed. We really want to, we really want to be the best we can be." And, the sad thing is that you can rehearse that much and really not get any better. You just play as sloppy as you did at the beginning. You just know more songs to do it on. It has to be, it has to be good kind of practicing. You might practice, twice a week, once in the middle of the week, once on Sundays. So we'll look at some rehearsal ideas later. But the frequency of your rehearsals depends on a number of things. How musically mature is your team? So if I'm serving with a young team, I might want to rehearse more. If I'm serving with an older team, I might an older, more mature team musically, I might not rehearse quite as much. Your skill set, one of the things I've realized is that, you know, when I'm leading or I'm involved in the musicians, well, I'm involved. I'm a professional musician, but not everybody's a professional musician. So you got to look at what you can do to determine how much you need to practice, how much you need to rehearse. If you need more rehearsal to feel comfortable and to be able to lead or play in an undistracted way, well, then do that. Whether that's rehearsing on your own or rehearsing with a team. If your team needs it, that's something I've had to see. You know, sometimes my team needs more rehearsing than I do. That's okay. I want to serve them, and so I'll take more time to rehearse. If you need more time, you know, consider some things like starting earlier. On Sundays, say, if you're always, this is so odd. I mean, we will go through like years of always being rushed in our Sunday rehearsals, you know, and I'll say, well, like, what are you getting there? Well, 8, you know. I said, well, have you ever thought about getting there earlier? No. Okay. I don't know what I can do for you then. I mean, just get there earlier. Just a half hour. I'd much rather have a relaxed, thoughtful rehearsal than a rushed, incomplete rehearsal. So, you know, for here, I had the choice at the conference. Are we going to get here at 7 or 7:30? So knowing that I love sleep, but knowing that I wanted to have a relaxed rehearsal where people would be served, we came in at 7. You know, and I'm so glad we did. You know, the first morning, Thursday, was it yesterday morning? We, you know, finished, you know, 10 till 9. So it could have been thinking, oh, I could have, you know, we could come in later. But no, it was just great. It was peaceful. We had time to review things. And so you might need to start earlier. You can maybe end later. I'd say, you know, you should evaluate how often you rehearse regularly, maybe once a year, you know. Just ask, is this the right amount of rehearsal? Do you have the right people at rehearsals? So, you know, if we're working on limited resources, sometimes we think, well, we need everybody there. Well, maybe not. You know, maybe you just need the people who are playing that Sunday, or maybe just your vocalists, or maybe just your instrumentalists. I mean, for years, I think I would have the vocalists there and the instrumentalists at the same time. And, you know, I'd be spending a lot of time with the instrumentalists, the vocalists just be, you know, talking as vocalists are tend to do. And it was, you know, like this revelation that, oh, they could come later. What a concept. You know, especially if you're getting monitors or something at the beginning, have your vocalists come later. I mean, some of these things may be obvious, but I'm often surprised at how we just don't think of these things. It's okay for you, you know, just to get, if you're a guitarist and you have maybe a bass player and a drummer and you're a piano player, and you maybe just to get together with your piano player, talk about, okay, what are we going to play together? You know, we'll let the bass and drums get together and then we'll come together afterwards. It's okay to not have everybody there for your rehearsal. Are you using technology to its fullest? So, you know, technology just keeps getting better and better and better, and we should be aware of it, at least to know what we're missing out on. You know, Planning Center Online is a tremendous program. We're not using it right now, but we will eventually, I'm sure. It's relatively inexpensive for a small church. You can handle administration, you know, getting people on the schedule. You can handle charts, MP3s, different services. How many of you use Planning Center Online? Okay, good. How many of you don't use it? See a lot more. Yeah. So for years, I mean, I would make up the spreadsheet. You know, 3 months of the spreadsheet. We have like, you know, 25 musicians, and you know, I send out the emails. Who can't be here when? And you know, and it'd take like 3 or 4 hours to do it. Planning Center Online, you just get everybody. You know, when are you available? Click, hit a button. Click, click, click. You know, it's there. Can't come? Okay, who's next? And it's just a lot easier. Praisecharts.com. Do a group email rather than emailing each person individually. Look for places that offer their music They're charts for free. I don't know if you make your own charts. I like to make my own charts, but a lot of places offer them for free. Sovereign Grace Music, we offer all our charts for free, and now you can actually get them with one click rather than four and having to give your credit card information, which you'll never use, and all that kind of stuff. That's the way we used to do it, because we didn't want people to use our music, so we would make it as hard as possible for them to download it. But we saw the light, and on the new site, which we developed a few years ago, it's all for free. WorshipTogether.com offers charts. PraiseCharts.com, they offer orchestrations. Of course, if we're talking about limited resources, you're probably not looking for orchestrations. But, okay, are there tasks you can give away to someone else? Calls. You know, not everybody has an administrative assistant. But there may be people in your church, people on your team who would like to help. Someone to help with organization, someone to help with song research or setup or making charts, or, you know, would it be possible to talk to, you know, the leaders at your church and say, hey, can we get someone like for 10 hours a week to, or 5 hours a week to do something? Just, is there someone you can add into the mix who can make your job easier? Are there procedures or expectations you inherited from others or yourself that could be streamlined or eliminated? Again, it's amazing how we just become creatures of habit, and we do what the person before us did, or we just do what we've been doing for years, even though it's dumb, even though it's not effective or efficient. So, you know, it might be what tasks are you responsible for, and is there a way of making them more efficient? Is there a way of doing them more smoothly? So when I came into Covenant Life back in 97, church back in Gaithersburg, you know, we had every week rehearsals. All the team came to every week rehearsal. It was great. The team felt like a family. We enjoyed it. But about, you know, 2 months into it, I thought, we don't need this. Like, these are all skilled musicians. They've been playing together for years. And it's really hard to add people to the team, because it's such a close-knit group. So we started going to every other week rehearsals. And then eventually we got to just doing Saturday night rehearsals for whoever was playing that Sunday. And then you know, we'd have a once a month rehearsal for everybody, or maybe a once a quarter. So we just tried different things, but we adapted as we went along. How you keep your music, you know, the picture of like the huge, messy notebook, you know, that everybody's kind of carting around. There are things that are being developed where we don't have to do that. How many of you used iPads for your music? Okay, good. So I had to go to South Africa to like to see that in action. I knew it was coming, I knew it was there, but I wanted to be able to write. I always have people write on their music, and now they have programs where you can do that. I think Planning Center has that. There's one I found. One that people have told me is the best is called Fourscore, Forscore, but I know that OnSong is also very good. Any others that people are using? What is it? Gigbook. That's for that one too. So yeah, that's just, again, can it make our job easier? That's what we're looking for. Okay, do you communicate often enough with the right people? Communication is key, and it's good to have systems where, you know, by this time, these people need to know about X. Are you building a culture as well as planning for rehearsals? I talked some in the leaders' relationships about the importance of building a culture on your team rather than just having meetings, having rehearsals, you know, having get-togethers where just people hang out or practice, whatever. Build a culture. So you do that through education, through talking about it, and through example, and through instruction, and through inspiration. So, like, build a culture of serving. Build a culture where it's a good thing to serve. Boy, I was so inspired by Jared's message this morning. I love it when I host a conference, but then I'm sitting there being fed. I'm just thinking, yeah, I'm glad I invited that guy. This is really good. You have everybody on your team listen to that. Listen to that message this morning. And that's part of building a culture of serving, building a culture of encouragement, building a culture of evaluation, building a culture of expectation. Like, when you come together, do people like to come together? Well, if they don't, why not? Well, maybe it's because you aren't helping them. You aren't, as a leader, you aren't giving them anything to expect. God's going to meet us here. This is going to be an encounter with God, just like in our meetings it would be. Now, we're rehearsing. So those kinds of things. Build a culture. Make your expectations and standards clear before people are a part of the band. So in terms of things like participation, timeliness, length of service, that's part of building a culture too. You tell them up front, this is what we're trying to build here. This is what we want the musicians at First Baptist to be like. So it's clear. Okay, so that's the first area, lack of time, lack of talent. So you're working with volunteers, which means they're not always going to be available. People move out of town, seasons of life. Okay, first, pray for gifted people to join the church. Really. Just ask the Lord, Lord, please, we need a drummer. We know drummer's not crucial to singing your praise, but boy, it sure would be good. And we know there are Christian drummers, and if not, Lord, save one. I was talking to a guy, I have relationships with different, music leaders, different places, and this one guy in Brighton, I said, well, how can I pray for you? He said, pray for 100 musicians to get saved in Brighton. I thought, wow. Just hearing that prayer request was really inspiring. Because I've never prayed that, but I could, pray for 100 musicians in Louisville to get saved. And so they're going after it. They're like going into bars. They're going and, hanging out with musicians. And he said, yeah, so far we have three. Three got saved so far. I said, well, I'll keep praying, So very encouraged. So pray. Establish a realistic expectation for the musicians you have. Otherwise, you'll be tempted to discouragement or harshness. Now, just accept this is where our musicians are right now. It doesn't mean they can't grow, but this is where they are. So if your pianist can only read notes, for right now, flow with it. Give them notes or only have them play when you have notes. If your guitarist only knows the basic chords, or if you're the guitarist who only knows some basic chords, then don't try to do songs with a lot of complicated chords, or just cross them out. We love crossing out chords. Just, okay, we're not going to play that one, we're not going to play that one. Or use that guitar sparingly, or just have them don't play on that song. They just, did you see Brooks this morning just bring out a tambourine? We don't know, maybe he couldn't play the song. I don't think that's why he brought up the tambourine. But you don't know. Just say, hey, just pick up the tambourine on this one. Okay, great. Vary the number and kinds of instruments you use on Sundays, even when it's not necessary. On the church plant right now, we generally have a full band. We're blessed with some great musicians. We're going to lead tomorrow morning. But at some point, I'm going to start saying, okay, this morning we're just going with two acoustics and a djembe. Or you're just going to use piano and voices. Because we want to communicate two things. One, for two reasons. Worship isn't this particular sound other than the musical worship, other than maybe the sound of voices. So we can vary the instrumentation. But the other thing is, it prepares people for when you don't have, all the instruments. It's okay if you don't have a drummer. It's okay if you don't have a bass player. God can still be praised. It can still sound good. Really, it can still sound good. You could go. Yeah, I've talked about some of the things. Okay, hold musician nights to find out who might be added. So, you're in church of 60 or 70. You say, well, we don't have any musicians. Like, are you absolutely sure? Like, what if you said, okay, 2 weeks on a Friday night, we're just going to get, hey, if you're a musician, come on out. We're just going to play together. We're just going to play some songs. Play some worship songs, some hymns, whatever, and just see who's there. You'll be surprised. There may be people lurking in the background, just waiting to be invited. Ask older, more gifted musicians to work with younger musicians. Definitely something we want to encourage. If you have an older musician who's experienced, and they might only be experienced in one area, get them to train some younger person. There's a guy here at the conference, Dave Campbell. Dave, you're not here, are you? I wouldn't think you'd be here listening to me. Dave, I served with Dave at the same church for 16 years, but at different conference and stuff for, oh my, almost 25 or so. Dave would faithfully, he's a guitar player, just get younger guys, younger girls, and train them. Just give them lessons. Say, hey, I want to teach you this. And, you know, no big fanfare. It's not like a big class. And we did that sometimes, but just one-on-one. And those guitars then, over time, became, you know, part of the team. Just get your older people to disciple, to mentor your younger people. Encourage younger musicians to learn from people in or outside the church. So just say, hey, we want to use you, but you got to grow. There's stuff on the internet. There's stuff on YouTube. There's stuff at the local college. There's all kinds of ways you can grow. I want to encourage you to do that. Take time to evaluate your meetings and procedures. So that's related partly to what I talked about earlier. But just make sure that you're using the talent that you have to the best degree that you're able. Ask the church to buy or support buying training videos, books, conference registrations. So I know I've talked to people here who say, yeah, my church sent me here. That's great. I think that's hopefully a wise investment. But look for ways to invest in your team. Okay, suppose you have a lack of resources. Look at lack of time, lack of ability, talent, lack of resources. So meaning, you know, you just don't have the equipment that you wish you had. Now, equipment can be distracting. If it's bad, if cables are always going out, if speakers are like that. So do I say this here? Number four, spend extra money to buy equipment that's reliable. I see so often smaller churches trying to get by. And you can get by. And, you know, oftentimes they'll have someone in the church who's just like, jack of all trades, he can do kind of make something out of anything, and you know, and that's how the sound system is. It's like, you know, this piece from here and that piece, and we got that from there, and that, you know, it's just kind of all strung together with duct tape. And you're every morning, every Sunday, oh, I hope it works. I hope it works. Yes, it does. And it's really not the best way to like go through the meeting in a relaxed, confident way. So I'd rather get less equipment that's better than, you know, a lot of equipment that's not so good. You won't regret it. Remember, your primary goal is not to sound like the CD, impress people. You want to eliminate what's distracting. So out of tune instruments, you know, guitars that just won't play in tune, blown speakers, yeah, get them out of there. You know, use some bad mics, bad chords. Find out what people in the church are willing to let you borrow or use or buy. You know, I mean, on the church plan, I think we start off with, well, we did get a set of drums, but then, here, we're using one of the guy's drums in my son's band, Devin's band. And, just find out what people are willing to let the church use. And then pray for provision. always pray. Lord, bless people. Okay, so let's talk about, like, the actual rehearsal. Before the rehearsal, pray for everything that's going to be happening. You know, that can seem like rote, but it doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be. Always take time at the beginning of the rehearsal just to thank the Lord we can meet where we are, thank him for his mercies, and pray that we encounter him even as we practice. Know the songs you'll be singing and want to work on. So this is kind of talking right now about maximizing the time of your rehearsal. Confirm beforehand what songs you'll be doing. So you don't want to guess at the songs you'll be doing on Sunday and then talk to your pastor and go, no, we're not doing those songs, and then you know, you have to go back. Now we're doing these songs. And review the melodies, chords, structures, transitions, especially for new songs. Involve others if you're not musically skilled enough. And as I'm putting that down, I'm thinking, well, yeah, that's a part of the problem. Like, you don't have time to do all that. Just do it for one song. You know, if there's one song that you're not sure about, so often we'll go into a rehearsal kind of knowing the melody. Yeah, I think I know. Someone will know it. And then when you get together, no one really knows it. So we're just kind of guessing, you know, group, you know, melody by committee. I think it goes up there and, you know, down there. And I mean, I've been there, I've done that. So it's helpful if you take the time to know what it is, to at least have listened to it, to try to listen to it. Bring charts or have them ready to download. You know, sing through songs, make sure they're the right key. Keys are important. And there's no perfect system. Generally, for years, I've used, from an A to a D is a good congregational range. That can be stretched, not too much lower. If you get down to a low G, that's pretty low for men and women. The congregation can sing E's. What was that song, that Delirious song? Open up the gates and let... Did you hear the mountains tremble? Never let it, but I have sung it, and it's an F sharp. And I've heard congregations belting out F sharp. So, it doesn't sound that pretty, but they're yelling it. And you know, if you go to a U2 concert and people are, I'm sure, yelling out G's and stuff, and that's not the goal. The goal is to have people sing it comfortably. So generally an A to a D. So check your songs. Make sure you're doing it in the right key. Don't just download something from, Chris Tomlin's site and assume, yeah, that's good for the congregation. Make it clear who's supposed to be there and when. Know which songs are familiar or not familiar with the group. Just say, like, if I'm working with a new group or maybe a new musician I'm not familiar with, I'll say, so which of these songs do you not know? So let's go to those first. Let's make sure we get those. Be clear on how much and where you want to collaborate on ideas. This can really eat up time in the rehearsal when people think it's a democracy and it's not really, but you haven't said anything to inform them otherwise. So there's a lot of trading of ideas and people say, hey, how about, can we do it this way? Hey, I don't really like that ending. Can we do it this way? And what if we try this way? And it just eats up time. So, someone's got to make decisions. So someone on your team should make decisions. They should just be either self-appointed, pastorally appointed, voted in, whatever. Someone's got to make decisions and say, okay, yep, enough time on that. There are some ideas when they're offered, I'll say, yeah, I'm not sure, let's try that. Some ideas that, yeah, that's good. And then some ideas that, no, let's just keep doing it this way. And the quicker you can make those kind of decisions, the more efficient your rehearsal will be. Doesn't have to be a dictatorship. I welcome ideas on the team. I encourage people to, what do you want to play? In fact, that's something I'll often, if I'm working with a musician who's just limited in some way, I say, well, how would you play it? I was in a piano seminar here the other day, and time just seems like, I just don't know exactly where I am in time right now. But it was a couple days ago, I was doing the piano seminar here, and I was trying to get a keyboardist to play a certain rhythm, and he couldn't quite get it. So I told the class, if he was on my team, I would say, okay, that's good, we'll work on that later, just play what do you feel comfortable playing? Dun, dun. Okay, great. Because no one in the congregation is going to be saying, oh, well, he didn't play that rhythm. Because they don't even know it. They don't even know what rhythm he would be playing. They'll just hear what he plays. And if it sounds good, yeah, it's good. We're good to go. Drummers, that often happens with. You're trying to get them to play a certain beat. And, it's like... And, it's feeling kind of awkward and... everybody's just, is he ever going to get it? And, the guitar player's tempted to put down his guitar. Here's how you do it. And you want to try to avoid those moments and say, how do you want to play it? What are you feeling? And, if it can work and you can build the team around it, great, let's do it. That will help you maximize the resources you have. Now, that doesn't mean you can't say to the drummer, okay, hey, you remember that issue you're having? Here's the problem. Or can you work with someone else and figure out how to do that? Because that's something you really should know how to do. So decide who's leading the musical process. And then now allow enough time to rehearse peacefully. I mentioned that. Just make sure you have enough time. Just give yourself enough time. Wake up early so you can be at peace when the meeting starts. During the rehearsal, ask for God's help. We're expressing our dependence, we're asking for clear and creative ideas, and praying that our hearts would be affected, even as we're rehearsing. We're not rehearsing for worship. Don't say that. We're not rehearsing for worship. I mean, in some ways, we're rehearsing now for the new heavens and the new earth, but that's on a more cosmic perspective. When we rehearse, it is an act of worship. We're serving the Lord by serving his people, and so that is an act of worship. Pray your rehearsal bear fruit in the lives of those you're leading. Take time to get the sound right. If you want to maximize your rehearsal with limited resources, how many of you don't have any kind of monitor system? Okay. All right, just a couple. All right, so I'm going to focus on the rest of the group, if that's okay. Take time to get good monitors, a good monitor mix. And I would encourage everyone to hear everybody that's on the platform, everybody that's playing in some way. Any of you use like the iPad, the iPhone, the PreSonus stuff? How many of you are using that? Okay, how many of you are using Avium? Okay, and how many are using like a monitor board on the side? And how many of you are using monitors mixed from the house? Okay, yeah, that's, okay, great. That's the hardest in some ways, because you're shouting back, I want more of this. And it's take the time to get it right. Establish a procedure for getting your monitor mixes. So one church I was at, we had a person who was up front with a microphone. We had a monitor board on the side. And they walk around each person. We'd be playing. Everybody would be playing just something, usually the first song. And they'd say, okay, what do you need? Okay. And then they would have a microphone, and they would communicate to the person in the back. So we don't have to stop playing. It's all being done. And they would keep going around like that until everybody was in a good place. Very helpful. Because before that, it was just a zoo. You know, we come in and start playing. Hey, can you get, you've got the poor monitor person. Okay. And do the wrong chord. No, not that. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, so just good, clear communication that's also allowing people to play and practice as you're getting the monitors. The point is, get your monitors right. If you don't, it doesn't really matter what you're playing. Because you don't know what the other people are playing. And sometimes, you know, our monitor system is, what we get in our ears is just, us. So that means when we drop out, it sounds like the bottom drops out, which means that we'll be tempted to play all the time, which is not what you want. So get a full mix in your head or in your monitors. It's worth the time. Use playing a song as time to get people's monitors. You know, some bands just jam. Well, you can just jam, but why not play the first song? So when I come in on a Sunday, we come in at 8, we load in at 8, we meet in a hotel room, and we take stuff in cases upstairs, and so we probably get everything into the room at about 8:20, somewhere around there. And then usually it's by 10 till 9, or 5 till 9, sometime before 9, everybody's in their place, has their instrument, and is starting to get monitors going. And as soon as that's all happening, I just start playing the first song. I'm not trying to call everybody together. I just start playing the first song. And then people just start playing it along with me. And then when everybody's playing, I stop and I say, okay, everybody got ears and everything? Okay, all right, let's pray. And then we go into it. It's just kind of this little routine, but we've already started rehearsing the first song. So we're just gaining time by doing that. And so we'll be done, you know, sometimes by 9:45. My goal is to be done by 9:30, get the whole thing done in an hour and a half. We're not there yet, but I want to keep pressing towards that. So maximize that time. Okay. Maximize your time by focusing also on crucial and transitional elements. Some teams, just talked to somebody recently, I said, how do you practice? Well, we just go through everything twice. That's not going to be your best way of practicing because, you know, you're not growing from it. You're not learning. You might be doing stuff wrong. Okay, these are the songs we're doing. Let's just play through them. Here are the things I try and focus on, and hopefully you'll see this later. So now, let's see, 1:15. So when are we ending? 1:50, 2:30? Is that right? Okay. Thanks for your help on that. Chords and lyrics, make sure that everybody has the same chords and lyrics. And don't be afraid to make changes on the fly. We do that all the time. How songs begin and end. So one of the things I always want to make sure of before we start the meeting is who's beginning every song. Now, if I'm with a weaker team, a team I don't trust to set tempos, I have no problem starting all the songs. I've tried it the other way. It's just not worth it to me. It's not worth it to me to trust a drummer who I don't trust, who may either start in the wrong, it's too slow or too fast or in the wrong key time signature, which has happened. So, you know, he's starting the song in three and it's a 4-4 song. And I just start in on four and just get going. So who begins and how's the song end? Now in doing this, I'm not saying to the team, hey, this is the way we're absolutely going to do it. I'm just saying that this is what we're planning. But if you were in my seminar yesterday, second seminar, you make plans, but the Holy Spirit helps you make your plans, but your plans are not the Holy Spirit. So sometimes guys will be trying to nail me down. So is that going to be a 4-bar turn or an 8-bar turn? So I don't know. But when we get there, we'll know. And if I don't give a cue for the next verse, then it's 8 bars. But if I give the cue at the end of the 4th bar, then it's only 4 bars. Is that good? Okay, great. And that makes some musicians nervous, but eventually they get used to it. So how a song begins, how a song ends, are we ending with a big ending? Are we fading out? Do the instruments drop out, gradually? Just how does it begin? How does it end? Who starts each song? I got that. When to lay out and when to enter. This requires a producer's ear. Not everybody has a producer's ear, but if you don't, and if you're leading the team, someone on your team should have a producer's ear. And by that, I mean they're listening to everything and they're saying, what would sound good here? What would help here? And when should instruments not play and when should they play? So I have no problem saying to a synth player, and synth players can be notorious for this, once they start, they just tend to stay. They don't want that beautiful sound to ever stop. And the problem with it is that it just fills the audio spectrum and you just can't get away from it. So everything sounds pretty much the same. So I'll say to the synth player, don't come in until verse 2. And, they should say, okay, great. Yeah, that's not a personal affront. It's not a critique of their playing ability. It's just saying, I think it'll help the sound, the whole band, if you don't come in until verse 2. So you might say to the guitarist, why don't you start this song? I'll lay out. Well, I'm a keyboard player. Just say, why don't you start this song? And you have to say this, nobody else play. And you might have to say it twice. Because even when you say it, people just assume, he means everybody but me. Because my part, I don't know if that's what they're thinking, but my part's so crucial. I mean, he couldn't mean me. I have to play. Try different combinations of instruments in rehearsal. Help people see their silence is one of the contributions they can make. You say, well, how can I contribute on this song? Don't play until the last chorus. It doesn't feel good initially, but it really does help. And what you can do to help people understand this is have a couple people go out front, or part of your team go out front, and listen. Okay, we're going to do this song with the whole band, and now we're just going to start it with the guitar. And, okay, did that sound different to you? And the other go, yeah, it did. Okay, what was the difference? Well, it just sounded more personal, more intimate, more, it just fresher. Yeah, that's right. So we have to have times where we change the instrumentation. And as I work with teams over time, we'll get a feel for it. And, if a piano starts, maybe the guitar will take the second verse. Piano will lay back more. And so we'll get a feel for those kinds of things. Okay, and so when to lay out, when to enter. So some of those things are assigned. Some of those things are just you do on the fly. How to repeat a chorus, that can be a problem. If you do repeat choruses, and I'd encourage you to repeat choruses at times, sometimes it's not easy to repeat a chorus because the last line may overlap with the first line. And so you just want to go through that. When someone should play or sing a solo, You know, just point it out. If you want a vocalist to sing, to start a song, would you start this there? Dynamics, that kind of goes along with the laying in and laying out kind of stuff. So if you want to be a good musician, practice what you're good at. If you want to be a great musician, practice what you're bad at. And that's another way of focusing in on what's really important. So the other morning we were going through a song, three verses. We were in the middle of the second verse, and I just said, let's move to the middle of the third verse. So we just started singing the third verse, because there was nothing really of interest happening between, you know, the second and the third verse. You know, we have a chorus there, and that was it. So I just cut some time out of the rehearsal by shifting that. That's one of the ways to maximize your rehearsal. In terms of practicing what you're bad at, yeah, just don't play through the songs. That list I just gave you are some of the things where we can tend to do badly. Places where train wrecks are prone to happen. How does that song end? You know, if you have like a, what do we do? Song? We do a song called Come Praise and Glorify. You are, let's see. Glory, you are the God who saves. So it's a big break, and then boom. You just want to be sure everybody knows that. Because really, it's just, it's a little distracting. You get the end of the song, you are the God who's, it's just not as effective. Okay, so that means you might focus on, you know, the last chorus of a song. You might focus on a transition. I did a seminar back in 2008 called Band on the Run, which talks about some of these principles. You can just do a Google search, Band on the Run, Coughlin, it'll show up. That was with an actual band. All right, so make people write down the changes or direction you give them. The weakest ink is better than the strongest memory. I'd rather someone, you know, fail to look at their chart but have it written down than someone miss it because they didn't write it down. Because I do that all the time. I write things very big, put like the Google eyes, you know, circle, point, and I just miss it. So that can happen, but if you don't write it down, you have no chance of remembering it. So just make sure people write things down. Monitor the sound out front, especially, you know, if you can do it before the meeting. We ask people in the congregation who like are musicians to come up after the meeting and tell us how it sounded, or they can tell us before the meeting. You'd be surprised. You know, your monitor may sound great, but out front may not sound so great. So it's one way of maximizing the rehearsal time. Use it to see what it sounds like out front. If you expect to lead spontaneously, practice spontaneity. I was part of a church one time where I realized that the musicians tended to do, you know, what we had practiced, and when we got into the meeting, I couldn't do anything different. They just started leading me, really. I would start to, you know, back off or something. They'd just be plugging away. No, this is what we're doing. So I'd start following them. Well, I didn't want it to be that way. So we started practicing spontaneity in the rehearsal, and I would do something different. And of course, as soon as I did something different, they would say, "Is that what we're going to do?" I'd say, "Well, I'm not sure. We might do that. I just want to make sure you can hear me so that if we do something different, we'll all do it together." And I give a lot of verbal cues. They help everyone, you know, the person who's doing the projection, the congregation, and the team. Everybody hears it at the same time. So we used to use like complicated hand signals for everything. You know, it's like a baseball coach or something. You do it behind your back. And guitar players have a real hard time, so they develop like foot signals and stuff like that, which is fine. But just, you know, verbal cues work pretty well too. Have your projectionist run through the lyrics as you rehearse. Work out any discrepancies. I mean, I'm just preaching that to myself. There are still times where, you know, you're singing a song and you realize it's another version of the hymn. And I was just someplace recently where this happened. It's just awkward. You know, it was a small group meeting, but there's a screen, and yeah, I just keep having to look up at the screen. Is that the right verse? Is that the right verse? It's a little bit distracting. So if you can get your projectionist there, how many of you know that projectionists are like a really, really important part of congregational song now? Amen. I mean, they're just, I mean, hymnals are great, and they just stay there, and, you know, they're good. But there are disadvantages to hymnals, just as there are disadvantages to projection. You got to work with your weaknesses. But if you do use a projectionist, and I would say most of us do, get them there. Teach them to do it well. Teach them to get the words up just like a second before they start. It's just so helpful when you don't know the songs. It's like you spend the first line of every, you know, verse. La, 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 la. Because the projectionist just, they're nervous. You know, is that going to be a verse? Okay, but, you know, they're already like into the second line. So excel in encouragement. That will help your rehearsals greatly. Helps you realize you're not the only musician. Let others know their contribution is valuable or that they're growing. It inspires people to do better. It's a guard against sin. So who arrived early for rehearsal? You can encourage people for that. Who stayed late to tear down? I love Jared's emphasis this morning on how God, you know, looks with favor upon the daily activities of his children. That's a heart he wants us to have. So, you know, if you think of your team as a problem, or a certain people on your team as a problem, that's going to hinder your rehearsals. You know, that's going to be a distraction. You're not going to be thinking about what God's doing. You're just going to be thinking about how they're like dragging everybody down. Look for things to encourage on your team. Has anyone been spending time practicing at home? Anyone been serving faithfully in the midst of personal trials? Just those kinds of things. And don't be afraid to give direction during the rehearsal. After the rehearsal, let me cut this short. Take time, talk about whether your rehearsal was actually effective. This can happen right after the meeting or later in the week. Encourage people. We do two things right after the meeting. Generally, we gather right, you know, where the band has been playing, and we just say, okay, what was good? Who did something good? You know, how did God meet us? And that transition worked really well. Tempos were really good. And then evaluate. What do we forget? Where was the leader unclear? What can we do to improve communication? How was the mix? I mean, just so each week can not only be an opportunity to serve people, but an opportunity to get better. That's maximizing not only your rehearsal, but your meetings as well. Okay, so final thoughts. Prepare to care for people rather than to simply lead a rehearsal. I mean, if you are a leader type, you will tend to think that the goal of the rehearsal is just get through everything you've planned in the time you plan to do it. That has some benefits. But in the end, you're probably going to end up hurting more people than you help. Because they'll just sense that you don't really care about them. You just care about getting through the rehearsal. So prepare to care for people rather than simply lead a rehearsal. At every rehearsal, it's easy to be most aware of what I have to get done and how little time I have. And when that happens, my focus ends up being on an activity rather than on people. So I'm learning to ask questions before the rehearsal, during the rehearsal, after the rehearsal, just to find out how people are doing. Are you doing okay? Anybody doing good? You know, just asking that question can open up doors, open up opportunities to minister, to care that wouldn't have been there otherwise. And they don't take that much time away from, you know, our precious rehearsal time. Learning what people are going through helps me remember that there's more to our relationships than making music together. Okay, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Take time to laugh. There's always some point in our rehearsal where we're laughing. The guy I mentioned earlier who trained younger guitarists, Dave Campbell, he's actually, his son married one of my daughters, so we're related now. But Dave is great on just mocking different ideas that are presented during the rehearsal. And you need to have that. You don't want to have a team where people are afraid to offer suggestions because for fear of, you know, it being looked at as stupid. Some suggestions are stupid, and it's better to acknowledge it as a group. You know, that was stupid. And, you know, sometimes that's me. Sometimes I make a stupid suggestion, and I just want to laugh at it and just, okay, that didn't work at all. All right, let's go. Or you do things that are dumb, and so, okay, it's okay. God is still glorified. Jesus is still exalted. Let's keep going. Let's keep growing. Let's not become this, you know, tense, uptight, you know, everything's got to be perfect. Jesus perfects our offerings. And that will always be true. Doesn't mean we don't grow. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight, faith, being faithful to grow. But it does mean we don't have to be uptight about getting everything exactly right. Take time to laugh. Keep your eyes on the future and what you're doing to prepare the next generation of musicians. And then rejoice in the fact that the ultimate measure of our fruitfulness success is not our rehearsals or our resources or our practice, but the faithfulness and finished work of Jesus Christ. We'll have limited resources, but God can do amazing things through limited resources. And so I want to ask those guys, wherever they were. So bass player, yeah. No, you guys right there. The quicker you do this, the better it will be. Come on. That's right. Yes. All right. Excellent. Okay. And we're just going to do a rehearsal real quick up here so I can show you some of the stuff I was doing. Don?
Devin,
excellent. Everybody's wearing false name tags. Yeah. Really gives me. And what do you play, Devin?
Guitar.
Excellent. Can you grab that acoustic right there? And you're?
Kiefer.
That is, it's really you? Okay. And what do you play?
Drums.
Excellent. And Mike?
Yes.
Bass?
Yes.
Okay. So we're not going to have monitors. So it'll be interesting. Oh, can I borrow someone's notebook? Anybody's? Thank you. All right. Okay, so you guys want to do, let's do grace and peace. Okay, this is not like a totally hard, oh, you need, did you bring your notebook? Nope. Okay, we need your notebooks. All right, that'd be good. Are they back there? Oh, look at you guys. Okay, one, two, excellent. Oh, yeah, okay. I guess we could have just taken out the sheet. Okay, see, that would have been effective rehearsal. Okay, grace and peace. And you probably won't need this, but what's that? What do you mean there's only one drum? It's limited resources.
Right.
I'm sorry, Kiefer. All right.
It's meant to be.
No, I did forget one thing. Okay, well, okay, we got a drummer with one drumstick. If we can find another one, that would be great. You never know, you know, sometimes you just have one drumstick. Brandon, you are the man. Okay, so this is not going to be an incredibly hard song, but maybe we'll look at another one. All right, so I've never played with these guys, and I trust that you can play. And okay, we got grace and peace right here. You're new, all right. Can you play a B chord? Excellent, okay, that's good. This is in B. All right. And it's Dustin?
Devin.
D-E-V-I-N. Devin, Mike, and Kiefer. Devin, Mike, and Kiefer. All right. So like what I'd initially do, like, let's make sure we're on. Oh, you're not. Do I have to supply everything? There are like 1,000 of them that they're giving out for free. Could you? You have a pick? Excellent. See, the Lord provides. That's the other thing you got to realize, is that with limited resources, the Lord provides. Excellent. Okay. Good. And you're okay in B? In F sharp minor? I mean, G sharp minor? In F sharp? All right, Mike, let me hear your bass. Oh, you're not getting it? Is it on? Sometimes keyboardists come in, you know, they just, you need them, that's all. Excellent, all right. Keep your drums working. Excellent, okay. So I would pray, like right now, and say, Lord, help us. Help us serve these people. All right, so I just met you guys, and can we hear each other? Can you hear me? Play again? Okay, so here's how the song goes. And can you move your stand, Mike, like this way? Okay, so that's another thing I'll do is just make sure I can see the drummer. All right, so it goes like this. Another thing I would do to maximize rehearsal is just talk through the song. So we got three verses. First verse is just going to be kind of me. Second verse, we'll add B bass and guitar. And actually, Kiefer, we're going to wait for you until like the third verse. And you notice at the end of the third verse, it's a different chord pattern. So at the end of each verse, and verse 1 and 2, it's this. 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. See that? At the end of each verse. We got that? Okay. And then, but the end of the third verse, it's and then it goes into the end. The end is big. The tag is big. Oh, what an amazing mystery. I think we've sung this once. Is that right? Were you guys here Wednesday night? Okay, so you've heard this. I wonder if I should do this other song. Hold on, I'm just checking something. No, that's like a 6-8. Would you rather do a 6-8 song? Hope that you see. What's that? Okay, this song, amen. It's probably better. Okay, so I do grace and peace. So I'll just start the song and just see what they do. Like, I mean, I have an idea of like how the song should go, but let's just see how it falls together. So I'll do the first verse, but I won't play the whole first verse because that would waste everybody's time. But you don't know the song maybe, so maybe I should. Okay. Grace and peace. Oh, how can this be? Lawbreakers and thieves, for the worthless the least. You have said that I'll judge. Okay, then it goes through that. And then the end of it. Oh, what an amazing mystery. What an amazing mystery. That you, Mike, why don't you come in here? Just come to me. I don't have to play that much. I shouldn't be playing exactly what I played when I was doing it by myself. Don't meant you bring the vilest sinner's heart can be cleansed, can be free, and we hold it here. Oh, what an amazing mystery. What an amazing mystery. That your grace has come to me. And then maybe Kiefer, it goes, it changes on the four, Mike. 1, 2, 3, not yet. Then right, coming down. Grace, yeah, Kiefer, peace. Oh, how can, you see how talking through it beforehand, like, we're already good to go, rather than just saying, hey, here's the song, let's start playing it, and then have to go back and talk about all this stuff again. So we're like almost there, and we're just playing it through for the first time. And you guys are playing great. I don't know why you were so hesitant. Oh, what an amazing. Okay, so right there, he did something that wasn't in keeping with the bar structure. So I'm going to stop right there and say, first, this is so weird. First, I'm going to say, you guys are doing a great job, and you are. So that's encouraging to me, because I thought, you know, this is a risk. I mean, but they play together, so there must be something there. But I didn't know. I mean, you can find acoustic guitar players like F sharp. Man, I always use a capo. I play everything in E. So like F sharp, I just don't do F sharp. So right there at the end of that, Kiefer, my heart is satisfied in the riches of Christ. Also make sure your drummers and all your musicians are going from lyric charts and not just chords. You want your instrumentalists to sing. Get your instrumentalists singing. At least, you know, encourage them to practice singing and to sing as much as they can. So at the end of that line, fourth line, my heart is satisfied. The riches of Christ. Riches is just a two-beat bar. My heart is satisfied in the one-two wait, oh, what a... So I heard him treat riches as a four-beat bar, and so he had an accent in the middle of that wait. So let's try it from right there. My heart is satisfied. 3, 4. My heart is satisfied in the riches of Christ. Oh, what an amazing mystery. What an amazing mystery that you're... It gets soft here. Mike, if you could give us some eighth notes. And we're building it up. Okay, let's go back to that. So I'm just taking a piece at a time. We'll start it soft. We'll go to those eighth notes. And if they were, like, actually on my team, I'd be saying, use your pen and write that down. Because everybody during rehearsal is going, yeah, and then never remember it. Because we'll go through 5 songs, and I'm expecting them to remember like 15 different things at specific moments in the song. So let's come back to that next to last line. Oh, what an amazing mystery. We'll come down, eighth notes, and then build it up. And one more thing. We'll do that chord pattern. Da, 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 da. And that should be an F sharp there at the end. That's great. We like to give people chord charts with one wrong chord. Just kind of a little game we play. Starting at the E. Oh, no, I changed with the chords. So let's just start right there. That your grace has come to me. Everybody playing. Break on 4, 2, 3, 4. Oh, what an amazing love I see. What an amazing love I see. Your grace has come to me. Okay, let's go back. Now that was good, but we only got it right once, which doesn't mean we'll get it right the next time. So we're going to do that one more time and take the last 2 lines of verse 3. All right? 2, 3, 4. What an amazing mystery, what an amazing mystery, that your grace has come to me. Yes, your grace has come to me. So we're just about ready to play the song, and we had like, 10 minutes or so. And I'd say to Devin, not Dan, Don, great job, like, singing the song. So if I see that in this lesson, and they haven't been doing it, of course, we just met. So I'd say thank you for singing the song, Mike. I saw you were just enjoying it, engaging it. Kiefer, you were just paying attention and starting to sing the song as well. So those are some, that's not the whole thing, but like that's how I rehearse. Just, I want to go to the things that are going to be problems, cover them, not worry about, breaking the spirit's flow, like by just stopping a song. It's hard sometimes because your vocalist, they're just like, oh, what? And you say, okay, we're going to stop there and then we're going to go to this point. But believe me, it will serve you, it will serve them, it will serve your church. If you do it that way. So can we thank these guys for, thank you. Great job. And make sure everybody gets their notebooks, and I'm going to be hanging around here if anybody has any questions or comments or criticisms. And thanks for being here. Thanks for serving in your churches.